This meeting is now being recorded.
Good day, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the RDS Who Is To plenary meeting number 5 on August 17, 2017 at 1100 UTC. And in attendance today, we have Volker, Dimitri, Alan, Chris, Erica, and Catherine. In the observers pod today, we have Vingesh, Subham, and Svetlanka. And from ICANN.org, attending today, Brenda, myself, sorry, I should be last. We have Nagar, Alice, Jean-Baptiste, Lisa, Steve, Karen. And that completes our attendance. I'll turn it over. Oh, I would like to remind everyone to please state their name clearly for the transcription. And I'll turn it over to you, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we should try to aim at having more participants in the working group, in the review team, than we have staff members online. That was said somewhat in jest, perhaps, but maybe not. Thank you very much. I'd like to, if people could look at the agenda, and I ask, are there any recommendations for changes or any other business that anyone would like to include? We will give you an opportunity again for AOB at the end, should we have time. Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, we'll assume the agenda is accepted as presented by staff and go on to the first item. The first item is leadership responsibilities. This should not be an onerous one. The leadership did review this with staff. It's part of the terms of reference. And just for transparency, we'd like to quickly review them and make sure there's no misunderstandings about who's doing what and what the process is. If we could have that displayed, please. All right. Chris, do you want this read out to you, or are you comfortable knowing what these kind of things are because you've seen terms of reference?
No, I'm not. You don't need to read it out, Alan. It's fine.
Okay. Fine. Thank you. The only thing that we've added to this is since the review team is moderately small and both the chair and the vice chairs have been appointed by various groups, the chair and whoever's chairing the meeting or the vice chairs to remain neutral on an ongoing basis doesn't seem to respect the fact that all of us have been appointed out of a relatively small number of appointees to represent the groups on the review team. So what we'll do is, although the chair occasionally will make short comments in response to other interventions, if there is any substantive intervention that the person who's chairing, or for that matter a vice chair, wants to add, we'll make sure to put ourselves in the queue. And the implication is we are clearly at that point taking off our chair's hats and acting as a participant. Now, as applicable, we may say that, but in general, we will try to make sure that's being honored. Volker, you have your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Alan. I think it would be helpful, just in addition to raising your hand in the chat, which not everybody who's may see because they're driving or not on the Adobe, just also include when you're making the statement whether you're making that in a personal capacity or as your chair. That's three words added, and I think that would serve clarity very much.
Thank you, Volker. Certainly we'll try, but if we miss it and there's no clarity to it, please feel free to ask for clarification as applicable. Having done this a number of times, sometimes it's not all that sometimes one forgets. Let me leave it at that. The other issue that we explicitly were asked by staff is the last item on the list regarding managing the team's budget and financial reporting to maintain accountability and transparency. That essentially says looking at the documents every several months as they're published in a quarterly report that this working group, this review team, like all others, publishes. That did not seem like a particularly onerous task that required allocation to someone else. And the example of the existing review team, the CCT, that was done by the co-chairs in their case. So our answer was, unless it becomes an onerous task or for some other reason, that that will stay as a leadership responsibility instead of being reallocated somewhere else. We really couldn't figure out why it would be necessary to not do it that way, but we'll play it by ear. If it turns out to be a more difficult task or a time-consuming task than we expect. I don't think there's anything else that needs explicit highlighting at this point, but if there are any questions or issues, I will open the floor for a moment. Seeing nothing, hearing nothing, I will assume that we are good to go on that one. And we'll go on to the next agenda item, which is the face-to-face meeting in October. And I'll turn this over to staff to present where we are right now. Essentially, this has been, the leadership did see this. We didn't have any particular comments on it other than to suggest that we have some informal dinners, which are optional depending on whether one is there or not otherwise occupied, just to try to get the group together and have some opportunity to talk to each other. But if we could ask Jean-Baptiste, or who will be presenting this?
I can do it, Alan. Thank you.
Please.
So you have on your slide some general information about the face-to-face meeting. So first of all, the meeting is set up to take place at ICANN Brussels offices. So you have the address on screen, and also you should all have received confirmation of your hotel, which is Aloft, and it's located 6 minutes walking distance from the office. So that's quite convenient. And in terms of schedule, so the first day would start at 9, ending at 5:30, and the lunch break would last 45 minutes, and there would be catering offered at the meeting location. One subject of discussion was also to have a potential start time on the second day at 8:30, so this is something to be decided by the review team. And also in terms of dinner, as you mentioned, Alan, so there will be a formal review team dinner on October 2nd, so on Monday, and for those who wish in the review team, those who will arrive and want to meet, this is up to you. This is possible on October 1st and October 3rd, and the draft agenda for the face-to-face meeting is currently being prepared. Let me know if you have any questions.
All right. Any questions, suggestions, or comments?
Alan, it's Chris. Can I, when
yes.
You've got a second.
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Sorry. Thank you. I don't know. I haven't received any information at all about hotels or anything. I don't know whether I'm supposed to make my own arrangements through board travel or what. So could someone, Brenda or someone, let me know what, if anything, I need to do? That would be really helpful.
Let me answer what I'm presuming. I'm presuming that just like for ICANN meetings, your hotel is being arranged and for the dates specified unless you tell us otherwise, and your travel arrangements are your own as they normally are for board members. I'm guessing that, but let me verify with staff
no.
That I got it right.
That's fine, Alan. It's just I'm sure that's right. It's just I thought I heard Jean-Baptiste say that hotel information had already been sent out, and I haven't received anything.
I received something on Monday, just in the form of a preliminary view of this slide. So if staff either can confirm right now or later, Karen, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, Emily. Chris, in response to your question, your travel gets arranged through the board travel. So we'll reach out
no
to them and confirm that they have the information
yeah,
and work with you.
Yeah. I'll organize that because it's easiest way for me to get down is on the train. So I'll sort it out. It was just the hotel that I was concerned about because I hadn't seen anything. But thanks, and I'm sorry to interrupt the flow of the meeting. Thanks, guys.
Not a problem. Volker, you had your hand up. Do you still want to speak?
Yes, just to confirm, same here. I got the travel arrangements for the flights and got information that the hotel booking would come later because I had made some special requests, and therefore, and that the hotel booking will be sent out at a later time. But it's already helpful to have that and get the confirmation from ICANN so that we can contact the hotel if we have any special requests.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Any other further comments on the meeting itself? We will be talking about the draft agenda a little bit going forward, but formally probably at the next meeting. All right. Let us go on to the next agenda item. We may actually finish in the hour this time. I'd like to look at a couple of items from the Terms of Reference. You'll recall the Terms of Reference is a relatively extensive document which addresses almost all aspects of our existence. And we have a fair amount to complete on that. The target is that we complete it leaving the Brussels meeting. So we're going to try to chip away at as much as we can as we go forward and then look at see what's left by the time we get to Brussels. There are three items I'd like to look at today. One is decision-making. The other is what do we do in the event of either a team member leaves or we believe a team member must be removed. And last things are dependencies, which is a curious title, but we'll look at least what's in that section as it stands right now. If we can pull up the terms of reference, and we seem to have gone to the next item already, pull up the terms of reference and scroll to the decision-making section. If any of you have your own copies of the terms of reference, you may want to look at that document. And if you could either scroll there or tell us what page to scroll to, I'd appreciate it. Do we have someone from staff? Am I still on the call? Does anyone hear me?
Hi, Alan. This is Alice. Decision-making methodologies is on page 13.
13. Thank you very much.
We would all like to scroll there. Yes.
All right. This is a relatively standard ICANN terminology. It's been in use for a while. The definitions are range from full consensus through consensus, strong support but significant opposition, divergence, and minority view. It is the call of the chair of the review team to decide what the level of consensus is, and I believe technically there's an appeal mechanism, although I don't remember that for absolute sure. I don't see any particular reason for us to invent a new set of words, and I'm presuming that these will be both adequate and acceptable and adequate for our use, unless there's some strong feeling that we want to look at something else. Almost surely we will not have full consensus on everything that we do going forward. On the other hand, certainly from my target, my position is we should not be doing much which has very significant opposition unless we find no other way to go forward at all. But I'll open the floor. As I said, these I think are definitions that came out of the GNSO. They have been used widely for a number of other working groups. And as I said, I can't see any reason that we would want to modify them, and that was the recommendation of the vice chairs also when we looked at them the other day. And I see a comment, no need for a new position, from Carlton. I don't see anyone else's hand or comments, so I will assume that we will take this recommendation as written in the current terms of reference and proceed with it. We can always revisit this if there's some absolute strong reason that we have to, but I can't really see that. In that case, let's assume that's a decision made and go on to the next item, that is team member replacement or removal. If we could have the location of that.
Yes, it's on page 12.
Thank you very much. So just scroll back one page. All right. The section there that is there, and I'll read it out because it's don't think many of you may not have. It's and this is a in square brackets, that is something that we have to consciously decide to do or not. Review team to insert circumstances under which review team member could become unable to continue, change in personnel, professional illness, or circumstances, if any, under which a review team member could be removed. That is, refusal to participate, inappropriate behavior, etc., and how to replace them. The review team could bring the matter to the SOAC to name, who named the respective team member, and ask them to remove them or name a replacement. Now, my feeling is I don't think we want to be in the business of removing people. So if we are in a situation that we find someone is problematic, I would suggest we do exactly what is suggested here and go to the SOAC. I can't imagine a situation where the SOAC would refuse to respond, but I think if necessary, we deal with it on an ad hoc basis if that happens. And I see absolutely no reason for us to do anything else other than allow an SOAC to replace a review team member. That's been the practice going back to the very first ATRT, even though in those cases the team was actually selected by the chair of the board, the CEO, and or the chair of the GAC. If there was a replacement, we always allowed the SOAC to do just to name a person, to name a replacement, and I see no reason to deviate from that. So I would suggest in very simple terms that we simply say if there's a problem, we go to the SOAC. If a replacement is needed, we ask the SOAC to name someone. And I see agreement from Carlton and Erica. And from Catherine. All right, not hearing any no's, I will presume there is consensus and we'll move ahead. And we'll come up with some wording for exact wording for that, and pass it by the review team, of course. And the last item is dependencies. If we could have the location of that.
So that's back on page 13.
Thank you. Going forward again. Okay. This one is a curious one. And I'll read it. Review team to insert here any dependencies or other key organizations within the ICANN community, such as the ICANN board or any other review team that may already be gathering input of relevance to the review team and any GNSO policy development working groups that may be working on related issues. That one I think is relatively obvious. We're certainly dependent on the various GNSO review teams or the implementation teams that go along with RDS issues, and we'll name them there. And clearly we're dependent on the board because we may well want to interact with the board going as we go forward. We may or may not. But other than that, I think the dependencies are our reliance on staff, and I don't think that needs to be delineated there. So, again, I'm opt for suggesting a relatively simplistic answer here, and presume it would be sufficient. Comments? Not hearing any. I'm assuming that it's so acceptable that we'll go ahead with it. Every once in a while, someone should disagree with me just to keep me on my toes. But I'm sure that will happen when we get the scope. Lisa, go right ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Lisa Pfeiffer, for the record. And I'm not disagreeing with you. I just wanted to amplify that I think the reason this section is here is that there's a recognition that there's much going on in the who is arena, and that it would be helpful for the review team to enumerate the groups that they felt were most relevant to whatever the scope might be. So perhaps as the group works on scope and thinks about what might be going on, enumerating them in this section would be helpful.
Thank you, Lisa. But you're implying we don't have the option of saying, now that we know we rely on them, we'll wait till they finish before we do our work?
No comment.
Anyone else have anything to say? Then I'll ask staff to try to identify all of the known groups and pass it by us at our next meeting. All right. Next item is scope, the little thing that we do have to decide, and that will be the bulk of the discussion. Actually, if you don't mind, I'm going to flip the order of the next item, the GDPR briefing, because I think that's a very short one, and then we'll go on back onto scope for effectively the rest of the meeting. It dawned on me that we're talking a fair amount about GDPR. By the time we get to creating even a draft report, deadlines will have passed. And since ICANN is doing some work trying to address the GDPR on its own behalf and on behalf of the of its contracted parties, I thought it was reasonable for us to get a pretty detailed description of what's going on. So we're not talking about a vague process, but we have something a little bit more concrete in our plate. Now, it's not our decision whether they do this or whether this is the right thing or the wrong thing to do, but I think it's one of the pieces of information we should have in our background just so we understand what's going on and can track it, because it may well have impact on what we're doing or not. By the time we come close to being finished, I'm guessing we will well understand whether they did something brilliant and have addressed the issue or not. But so I'm suggesting that we ask ICANN, and I don't know who it is who will do the presentation, but I'm going to be asking not for a generic overview to pat us on the head and tell us, don't worry, it's under control, but so that we actually know what is planned to the extent that it is known, and have an opportunity to either ask questions or to do whatever is appropriate at that point. I got a number of comments back on the list saying they support this. Stephanie asked the question of who is it that's going to do the briefing, and my answer was I don't have a clue, but I think it's something that we should do early on in our process, and perhaps as depending on how this unfolds, get updates as we go along. Are there any comments or reasons I should not go ahead and do this? And my target is, if someone can do it in sufficient time, is to have this briefing at our next meeting. It's possible that will be too tight, but that's what I would aim at. No comments, no input, then I'll consider that accepted and we'll go ahead and proceed on that. The next item and the substantive one for our discussion is scope. We've been talking about that for a fair amount of time now. And last night I was looking at something I should have done before, but I apologize. It didn't get done till then. To try to put something in writing in a simple enough form, we've had a number of relatively long documents talking about it, and it seemed relatively difficult to make decisions when we had information scattered all over the place. So I put together a very simple chart, which I sent out last night, and if we could display that, I would appreciate it. All right, thank you. This is something that, as I said, I went through the documents. I may well have missed a proposal that someone made, and if I did, please let me know as we go forward on it. And I did a stab in the dark from my position of whether I think this is something within that we could do for a variety of reasons. We still have to make a decision on whether we actually do it or not. And somewhere there's an echo coming. Looks like it's coming from Stephanie's line. Stephanie, if you could mute, thank you very much. And welcome, Stephanie. The well, first of all, does trying to use this chart and going through it one by one, adding things that other people have suggested as appropriate, seem like a reasonable way to proceed at this point? Again, not hearing anything, I'm assuming someone will put their hand up or call out if they think it's totally unreasonable. And hearing nothing, seeing nothing, I will presume we can go ahead with this. All right. On the first item on the list is there are three items that are referenced in the bylaws. Now, the bylaws list these as very prescriptive. That is, they say the review team will look at that. You recall that when the proposal was made for an abbreviated scope, there was a strong belief from some parts of the community that the ACs and SOs cannot instruct a review team what to do, but it has to be a decision of the review team. Now, that was a community that was held by a number of people, and I don't think there was any real strong objection to it. And from that, I take that in the community's perception, even though the bylaws say we should do something, this review team could decide to limit our scope. So I'm not taking as a given that everything is going to be, that there is going to be done, but I think we should look at it consciously. I suspect the answer is we will decide to go ahead on all of those, but I think we should do it consciously. The first item is that we are mandated to review the work of the previous review team and see to what extent ICANN has implemented all of the recommendations, and I think also within our scope is to try to understand to what extent that implementation has been effective at addressing whatever it was the review team was trying to address. So I don't, in my mind, I don't see how we could step away from that particular one. Any discussion on that? Anyone think that indeed it is, it's something we should try to step away with or could? All right, we've got a handful of agreements in the chat. I have heard nothing negative, so I'm assuming that means we must look at all of the recommendations, and I think there were 16 of them, and we must pass some judgment on all of those. That's going to be hopefully an easy job if ICANN has done a good job in its review. at least in our updating us on where we are. On the other hand, experience says we may well disagree and decide something that something still needs to be focused on, in which case we're in a position to make further recommendations on the same topic. The next item is comment on the effectiveness of the current WHO is implementation. That one I'm a little bit lost on because I'm not quite sure I'm not sure we understand enough about what the WHO is doing today. We know why it was invented 30 years ago. The RDS review team has spent a very extensive amount of time, and we'll go back to it a lot, to look at what are the uses that are made of WHO is and is it effective. I'm not sure I want to go there, but I'd like to open the floor to discussion on that. It sounds like an open-ended discussion because the uses are so varied. Virtually none of them were architected other than the need to get hold of a contact person if a machine which was in a university was not working, which was the original mandate. But I'd like to open the floor. Volker, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Volker Kramer speaking for the record, and I'm completely on board with what you said, Alan. The word effectiveness immediately pulls after it the question, effective for what purpose? That would mean that we would have to define a purpose for who is, and that's beside the scope of our mandate. That's something that the RDS working group has been struggling with for quite some time already, and not yet done it. So I think we would probably have to look at changing the term effectiveness to something that is less broad and less open to interpretation and less requirements for further determinations that we simply are not equipped to make.
Thank you, Volker. My recollection is, and we'd have to check the wording, is that it is within scope for review teams to recommend that the scope be changed for future review teams, and this might be one we want to consider from that perspective. Perhaps in the next review team in 5 years we'll actually have a new RDS to be commenting on. I don't know. I'm not making a lot of predictions, but it may have more meaning in the future, but I think that should be something that's clearly looked at consciously, and we may want to think about whether we make a recommendation like that. Carlton asks, would it be an aspirational kind of question? Well, I guess in relation to what I just said, if we ever know what the purpose is, we might be able to come up with whether it's effective at doing it. But certainly at this point, for the current WHO is, I would like to stay away from trying to answer that question, and moreover, stay away from the definition work that would have to be done before we could answer. I'm not hearing any objection, then I would like to suggest that the answer to that is no, other than to consider whether it should remain in the bylaws or not. And we have some hands. Catherine, go ahead.
Yes, this is Catherine for the record. Thank you, Alan. Can you all hear me?
We can.
Excellent. I also, I don't know whether you saw, I marked up the terms of reference to add language on scope, which matches your table largely, for the discussion of the review team members. And with regards to the effectiveness, I was also wondering what on earth that might mean. And one interpretation that I came up with to sort of limit the scope of the effectiveness question is to look at the rest of the sentence, namely the legitimate leads of law enforcement, promoting consumer trust, and safeguarding registrant data. So those are three aspects with respect to which we could assess effectiveness. I think letting go of it altogether is a bit too drastic of a decision for this review team.
Yeah, I did have that text somewhere in there, and in the chart, I remember writing it last night, and I don't know what happened to it.
Yes, you have it under the RDS PDP effort, so you've included that. Is that maybe what you're referring to?
I don't think so.
No, there it does say with regard to...
Okay. You're right, sir. That was also something that was echoed by the GNSO, and that's where I put it. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much. I'm getting a little bit spaced out. This was a late night last night and an early night for me at this point. All right. Then let's have that discussion when we get to that particular item. Stephanie.
Yeah, thanks very much. I hope you can hear me. Stephanie Parent for the record. I agree that this whole question of effectiveness is difficult, and there's a limit to what we can take on, but to sidestep it entirely is a bit of an evasion, one that I can well understand because I'm on the RDS working group as well, but the fact is, it seems to me, that evasion of the, what I would call the knotty problems, K-N-O-T-T-Y as in Gordian knot, has led us to the kind of impasse that we have with the RDS at the moment. You know, dealing with the actual purpose is something that so many have reminded us of over the past, and we haven't really done it, and we still haven't completed it in the current review team, working group. The review teams have, in my view, kind of sidestepped, said, okay, go on and do this. And as a result, the snowball rolling down the hill has got bigger to the point where we now have a little bit of a mess to clean up. So I think that some addressing of how we've handled the unsolved problem, recognizing that you can't go on and on and on forever arguing about something, needs to be made in our review. It doesn't have to be. We don't have to spend time on it. But to just sort of allow ourselves to scope it out seems to me not particularly honest. I think we should address it, you know, dead on. In many ways, the FACT 55 recommendations addressed a lot of the problems head on and said we really have to solve them. Even if it's to ask the question, I think that might be one way of doing it. Thanks.
Thank you. And I put myself in the queue and speaking on my own behalf. I think this, and it's Alan Greenberg for the transcript, I think this is head on overlapping with the RDS PDP. The RDS PDP is charged with looking at what the purposes of who is are or its replacement, assessing whether the current protocol is sufficient and effective, I think is another one of the words for that, and if necessary, making recommendations on what to do instead. So I think this is exactly overlaps, and we can certainly comment that we think it's important that someone do it, and the RDS review PDP is, in fact, charged with doing it right now. We can't control whether it's going to throw up its arms and saying we give up, as a previous PDP did, or whether there will be some other resolution. But I don't think we can tackle the question itself. We could make a comment on the question, but that's, I think, about as much as we can do. And, Lisa, I have your hand up next, and I'll put my chair's hat back on. Lisa, did you take yourself out of the queue?
Sorry, I was on mute. Lisa Seifer, for the record. I put my hand up just to call your attention to, I copied into chat, that this text in the bylaws asking the team to look at the effectiveness of the current now current system is actually the same mandate that the original WHOIS review team had. also just calling your attention to where the origin of the request to assess the effectiveness of the current system came from. You might think of the first who is reviewing your recommendations as their take on what was needed to address the effectiveness question.
Thank you, which indeed they did, and that has ultimately, through a number of steps, resulted in the PDP going on.
Alan, it's Chris when it's time for this time.
The queue is empty, Chris. Go ahead.
So, thanks. So, look, I really do applaud the desire to tackle knotty and difficult problems, and some of us have been involved in this RDS who is stuffed for what seems like a review of it, what seems like a lifetime. So I understand the desire to do it. My question would be simply effectiveness against what criteria? I think that's the challenge. At the time that the first review team did its review, there was the existing who is, there was a desire to do some stuff, but RDAP wasn't really there, and there hadn't been any work done for a long time on what, you know, what the criteria might be and so on. For us now, we are slap bang, this review team is slap bang in the middle of a significant amount of work going on in all sorts of different areas. So my question would be, what, if we're going to assess the effectiveness of the current who is, against what criteria? Who's going to decide? There's no agreement as to what the legitimate or illegitimate uses of it are. Outside of any legal issues. So I'm lost as to what we would use as criteria, but I want to stress I'm not advocating that we shouldn't be tackled at this stage, but I am concerned that we might end up spending all of our time discussing what would in the end be a bunch of hypothetical criteria against which to judge the current protocol's effectiveness and efficiency. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. I'll point out we have an item later on, which Carlton had introduced, to assess the current protocol to do the job. And although that sounds like the same one issue, it is actually a different one and a lot simpler, because it is easy to demonstrate the current protocol is not sufficient simply because of the issue of IDNs having been ASCII. So The fact that it fails for that makes it fail, and we don't need to enumerate all the other reasons it might be poor. So they are very different items, and I really think that if we are going to try to look at effectiveness period, then we are replicating the work of the WHOIS review of the RDS PDP, and I really think we need to step away from that. Stephanie, you have your hand up, but I was going to make a suggestion that if you feel strongly that we should be doing this, could you try to write up something for our next meeting to describe exactly how you believe we should approach this? But Stephanie, you have the floor.
Thanks, Alan. Okay, I will take up that challenge, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I see this as, how do we discuss effectiveness in the terms of, I would say, policy, without getting into drafting the policy. To me, I quite agree, there is no reason for us to try to redo what is going on in the RDS. However, commenting on the things that Catherine pointed out, you can't do that without mentioning that we're at an impasse on the conflict with law, that the mechanism hasn't worked, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think we can make it quite quick, and I will undertake drafting some kind of basic paragraph on this. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take a look at that when we get it. I'd like to move on to the next item now, and that is the OECD privacy and transporter border flow. That's one that I think we can do, I think we probably have to do, and I think it's pretty simple, because it's pretty obvious that the current protocol does not meet, the current protocol and and ICANN's requirements for where information is stored and escrow and things like that pretty well violate all of those, or not all of them, but violate sufficient ones to say that we have an issue with that. So I don't think it's a particularly onerous task for us to take that on. I don't think we need to enumerate fully, every possible way, because it's pretty much of a disaster. So I did send out a message on privacy, which I tried to expound a little bit more on how we could approach that. But I'd like to have input on that. That was sent out after the last meeting, so we haven't discussed that at all. Stephanie, is that a new hand? I assume you have some input on this, so I'm presuming it is not a new hand. Does that mean everyone is in agreement that we will look at this, but we'll look at it from a pretty light point of view and in accordance with that document I sent out on summarizing my positions on privacy, which was supported by the two co-chairs. Erica's focus point of view. All right, I'm going to assume that we will incorporate words similar to that into our scope definition and proceed. All of this will, once we have written decisions on this, we will go back to the review team to make sure it's been captured properly. All right, the GNSO comments, and the first one is the one that we were talking about briefly before, is assess the RDS. Interesting, I think the wording here is somewhat different, Catherine, than in the bylaws. The bylaws said we should assess the current effectiveness the actual bylaw. Just give me a moment to find it. Okay. Just trying to find the right words. Okay. The board shall cause a periodic review to assess the effectiveness of the then current GTLD registration data services and whether its implementation meets the legitimate needs of law enforcement promoting consumer trust and safeguard registered data. That's a different item than the one listed as GNSO, because the GNSO one is saying assess whether our current RDS efforts, the PDP, are meeting those. So I did err in leaving out the one from the bylaws. That is, assess the current protocol for whether it meets legitimate needs of law enforcement and consumer trust and safeguards. Views on whether we should include that. Again, putting on my personal hat, I would tend to say that, yes, we should include it, but, again, it's a relatively cursory review. Trying to assess what aspects it meets and what aspects it doesn't meet. But to belabor the point too much on the current protocol, which in any practical world is likely to be ditched, I would not think uses our efforts really well. Open the floor to that, though. And Lisa said the GDPR compliance activity might fall under those activities. And yes, indeed. We know it doesn't meet the needs right now, and whether the GDPR efforts will come closer to helping it meet the needs remains to be seen. Stephanie, go right ahead.
Thanks, Alan. Stephanie Perrin for the record. Predictably enough, I think that we have a little bit of a problem with this expression because if we're going to assess the RDS efforts with respect to legitimate needs of law enforcement, then we have to decide the legitimate needs of law enforcement, which certainly is an issue we're debating in the RDS group. By law enforcement, I include cybercrime enforcement, which, you know, if this said law enforcement agencies, maybe it'd be a bit easier, but still not easy. Promoting consumer trust is, you know, I would regard that as press release wording. We have not really examined that. We can assess, you know, some previous work on measurement, but, you know, that one's kind of wide open. And safeguarding registrant data, well, you know, I would argue that we don't do that either. So, I think this is a really difficult one to give, to assess quickly. Happy to look into it, but defining those terms would be quite a job. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll go to Volker next, and I put myself in the queue. Volker?
When we look at the term legitimate needs of law enforcement, I mean, data privacy officers now are pushed into a role of law enforcement agencies as well, just like the law that they're enforcing is not criminal law, but data protection. And in their case, it's not their needs that are not being met by RDS or are being met by RDS, but rather the actual law that is being broken or not broken or at least affected in a way. But basically, I think we might need to break up the question of legitimate needs and maybe just say requirements or something like that, so that all branches of law enforcement are actually encompassed by our work.
Thank you, Volker. If we were to do this, I would tell you how I would approach it. I have, in all the discussions I've heard on who is, and that goes back a good 10 years or so, the discussions all center around what information should we remove from who is or make less accessible than it is right now. I don't recall having an awful lot of discussion talking about new information that isn't there today. The RDS PDP is talking about, you know, putting in an abuse contact, but that can be filled in with the same address and email address and name as the other contacts. But other than that, I haven't heard any discussion. So I think it's moderately safe to say that the current who is, where no one is really advocating adding elements to it and is completely open with no restriction on who can get it, is probably as good as you're going to get. And that makes the analysis pretty simple. Because how could it, if it is insufficient, how could it be made better for law enforcement, for instance, where currently everything that is in the RDS is available and no one is really suggesting adding more items to it. So from that perspective, I think it's a relatively simple job to do. We may not be able to put an absolute answer on how effective it is in meeting the needs, but it's not likely to get any better, and putting effort into trying to identify those things, I think, are immediately transfers into the RDS PDP that is looking at what should follow. Putting back on my chair hat, I'll go to Erica.
Alan, if you could add me to the queue, this is Catherine. For some reason, it's not working in the Adobe.
Okay. You're after Stephanie. Erica, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. I think the issue for law enforcement sometimes is that procedures are not always clear and they have sometimes difficulties of getting the information, the true information they need. So, but I agree with you. I doubt at the current stage there's much to add. There's maybe one piece which relates to a slightly different topic, and our industry is maybe currently the only one which is not publishing information about law enforcement requests. The only company I'm, only organization I mean, in the sense that most other internet companies do this. So this is not what you were debating, but it could be something we could recommend for the future, which would help certainly those which, have some concerns about law enforcement requests, to evaluate the situation and, to understand it better. So it would be a nice counterbalance to, requests from, legitimate requests from law enforcement angles.
Thank you. And you're really talking, I believe, about requests to registrars and registries. I don't believe ICANN gets many requests in that area.
I would include all players. I mean, you know, if you go to the tiny ones, they might have difficulties, but definitely the big players and even ICANN. ICANN certainly receive some requests, so ICANN should do this as well.
Okay, so that's you're really talking about publication of information about law enforcement requests, not how, not whether it's effective for law enforcement itself.
No. I agree with you. That's what I said. It's the other side of the law. Yeah.
Okay. So you're not disagreeing that to the extent we tackle it, it's a relatively lightweight. You've just written that recommendation already, so we can almost tick it off. Again,
yeah,
somewhat of a joke. Stephanie, go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. Erica's point addresses one way to help solve the problem. One of the issues that I think is important in terms of the legitimate needs of law enforcement is the number of constitutional cases that have been brought regarding this access to data issue. And we have our own in Canada with the Spencer decision, as you probably know, Alan. So one has to stay current, and one has to recognize that ICANN runs a risk in violating constitutional rights of users by continuing the WHOIS policy that was hatched in 98 or even before. So I think coming up with a couple of ways that we could recommend that ICANN acknowledge the existence of court cases that have addressed these issues would be a good thing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not sure we're in a position to recommend how to fix it. We can certainly identify it as an issue. And Catherine, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. This is Catherine Bowerbulls for the record. And Alan, you were asking earlier that you were hoping people would agree with you, would disagree with you occasionally to keep you on your toes. So I'm about to do that on the law enforcement issues. I think there's two points, and that also came out during the first review team report. There are significant issues for law enforcement. The first is on the accuracy of the information that's in the WHOIS, because it's very frequently inaccurate, as we all know. And the second is on the privacy proxy issues. And there, of course, we are going to look at the work of the implementation review team, and we can probably say more on that after we've reviewed where they're at. But to my understanding, the fact that now the privacy proxy services are still pretty much unregulated and have very different approaches as to how they react to law enforcement requests, and I'm speaking about criminal law enforcement, so the more narrow definition here. I cannot speak for all the other ones, including FOICA's legitimate raising of the data protection commissioners is one of the potential parts of that community as well. But for them, for criminal law enforcement, the privacy proxy services are certainly posing somewhat of an issue. And when it comes to the transparency reporting on law enforcement requests, I can only agree with what Stephanie and Eric have already highlighted, that would be a significant step forward. Obviously, if you're dealing with an open WHOIS in the current shape, companies won't necessarily be aware of who is making a WHOIS request because it's just an open database. So it's very difficult for them to distinguish in any sort of reporting as to where requests have come from unless they have the technical information to be able to identify law enforcement machines making the request. So to my understanding, this type of reporting would not be possible under the current system of WHOIS, but I'm happy to be corrected on that one, and I would also be a fan of it if it were possible.
Thank, Thank you very much, Catherine. I took the suggestion to mean requests that are made directly to the groups, which implies the information is not currently available on who is, but they are looking for more information. That's how I took the request. They can only report on requests that are in fact made. You're correct.
Right.
All right.
I think that would be very useful.
Yeah. Privacy proxy is one of the recommendations. So I think we will be tackling that one as we look at the effectiveness going ahead, to the extent that it's already implemented. Of course, we have an issue that things are still in a state of flux. So we will only be able to implement evaluate what is actually being done or what we can look at as planned at this point. But privacy proxy is within scope because it was a recommendation that came out of the previous review. All right. If I could ask staff or perhaps working with me to try to summarize what we've come out of this, I think we're relatively in agreement at this point, or we know where we're focusing. That is not something, it's not an issue we can sidestep altogether. On the other hand, it is not something which we foresee taking a huge amount of effort to go through. I'm not sure to what extent we have new hands up. I see Erica and Stephanie. I suspect Erica is still an old one, but I'm not sure. Erica? We now hear someone typing. Old hand, Erica says. Stephanie, go ahead.
Stephanie Perrin for the record, and I expect this is not going to be a popular comment, but I'm going to make it anyway. If you were on the last RDS call, you may recall I brought it up there, Alan. The issue of what is required in the matter of retention data, what's required of the registrars, is relevant because, of course, particularly with criminal investigations, the data that might be of real interest is data that the registrars are obliged to retain under the data retention requirements, which are in the RAA. Now, I understand the registrar's position that that is a private contract, not subject to policy. It's between them and ICANN. But if we, as a review team for registration data, do not review how ICANN has managed access to that data through its policy requirements that are set in the contract, then we are effectively putting the most interesting data from a law enforcement perspective and from a personal privacy perspective into some kind of no man's land. You cannot just say, oh, it's in the contract, it's not part of registration data. If that's the case, then what exactly is it? So I just think we have to include that data in transparency reporting and in any other data. And I would point out that the data commissioners have pointed out on several occasions that data retention is not adhering to EU law. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. I would have thought that that fell under the previous category of OECD privacy. But Erica, go ahead.
I might not have understood Stephanie correctly. I mean, data retention laws are very complex, and they, depending on the legislation in different countries around the globe, they vary to a large degree. The UN is even more complex because there are various court cases pending, and they will have to probably come up with a new data retention law. So don't know what's going to happen there. But nonetheless, data has to be stored depending on the business contract a company does have. And this varies, of course, on the specific relations between the hosting company, or however you want to call them, and the individual client. So it's a very complex issue. So I was not sure what you were actually saying, Stephanie. We should not include it. We should not look into it, or we have to look into it, but then in its total complexity, which might be difficult.
Yeah. Thank you. Volker, you're next.
Thank you. Yes. I mean, the data retention is one thing. The thing is that ICANN compliance is also verifying this data retention. And then we are moving out of the question of data retention and provision of it. But I don't think that is entirely relevant to us, because it does not 100% only affect who is data. It's all kinds of data that we are supposed to collect and that ICANN is demanding of us, whether they have the right to do so under European law or not. Entirely different question, but I don't think it only applies to who is data and therefore is only tangentially relevant to us. I mean, where it affects who is data is one thing, but then it's in the whois. When it goes out of the whois and we have to retain it for another purpose, it does not remain whois data per se. It's just data that that matches the fields that are in whois, and therefore I don't think it's part of our scope anymore. Sorry to disagree with you there, Stephanie, but I think we should focus on whois data in this. Otherwise, if we broaden the scope too much, then we can spend years on this.
Thank you. Stephanie, go ahead.
I'm just clarifying, Stephanie Perrin, for the record, for Erica's question. I certainly don't propose looking into the vast complexity of data retention, but my point is really that this difference between it's basically all registration data. We're talking about the client relationship between a registrar and an individual. The data that has been forced to be published in the whois becomes a focus and the only sort of public access that we talk about, whereas in reality, the data that ICANN, as data controller, forces registrars to retain, whether it's illegal or not, and in my view, of course, it is illegal in at least under European data protection law and under Canadian data protection law, constitutional law, that just slides under the rug as contractual requirements. But if you are looking at ICANN's role in managing, as data controller, registrant data, you can't sort of sweep all of that required data under the rug. That's the point I'm trying to make. I'm not suggesting that we in this review team have any authority to look at that, but we could certainly say there is a looming problem that is developing, and that is that from the perspective of the data controllers, they look at the contract, and that will be where they go to assess data protection compliance. And the whois, or whatever we call the new RDS, is merely the publication instrument. Releasing data is releasing data, and that includes releasing the banking data to law enforcement when they ask. And the terms of that are obviously set country by country depending on local law. That is not something that ICANN interferes with, and therefore, thankfully, not something we have to look at. But the retention of it is something that ICANN has intervened in and set. That's all I'm trying to do, is to recognize that we have an iceberg of data. There's the tip that goes in the RDS, and there's the stuff under the water that is retained. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much. Again, I'll take off my chair hat for a moment. We could abolish whois today completely. We no longer publish any information. We shut down all of the whois portals, and there may still be retention rules that ICANN attempts to impose on registrars and registries, and there are still data protection laws which in some cases say we are asking them to retain data longer than is necessary. So can we make a statement saying there is a conflict between ICANN's current treatment of registration data, including retention and national laws? I think we've just said it. If the group wants to say, make a statement like that and say ICANN must address the conflict, I have no problem with that. Going into much more depth or analysis of it, I find is really problematic, though.
Alan, this is Catherine. Could I join the queue again?
You're back in it. You're on the front. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. I would just like to second that. I think ICANN is aware of the issue, and in fact, we have a specific conflict resolution procedure for conflicts with data, local data retention laws and data protection laws that is already in place. So if we just point to the issue, I think the community is well aware of it. That being said, I would agree with Volker that it's out of our scope because we already have enough on our plate with the current WIS as it exists. And if we want to make some high-level mention of it and recognize that this has already been recognized as a problem by the community, including ICANN.org, and that there's a procedure in place that might also be in need of further refinement, I think that would be useful, but probably not to do much more. And just the second thought on that, I think we might also hear a little bit about what ICANN plans to do around those issues when we hear the GDPR briefing, because obviously data retention is one of the issues that is addressed in the GDPR and that ICANN will have to look at in trying to ensure compliance with the GDPR by May. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Catherine. I think that's a good summary. We're a quarter past 17 minutes past the hour. I'm going to put an end to this discussion right now. We'll resume at our next meeting at the next item. And, of course, if anyone else has any items they'd like to add to the end of the list, then please make it known on the mailing list. I think we've made pretty good progress going forward at this point, so I thank you all for it. The next item on our agenda is, I believe, AOB, and it is. Is there any other business at this point? Then I thank you for your participation and look forward to the summary from staff on the decisions we've reached at this point. We have an item to actually confirm the decision. Sorry about that. Is staff in a position to...
Hi, Alan. This is Alice. Yes, if you scroll down in the notes, you'll see all the decision reached and the action items listed there. So if you want to scan through them right...
If you could read them out to me, I'm really bad at reading things. If you could can someone summarize and...
Okay. So in terms of decision... Yeah. So in terms of decisions reached on the scope... on the terms of reference, review team adopts proposed decision-making methodology. With respect to the action items, we have one on the leadership responsibilities, edit item number 2 indeed, to use when speaking in individual capacity instead of advocate. On terms of reference, on replacement and removal of members, leadership team is to draft some text for review team consideration. On dependent org, to identify all the known groups for review team consideration. On the scope, Stephanie is to suggest some language on effectiveness component. Leadership is to suggest text that reflects the OECD component. ICANN.org is to help leadership produce draft text reflecting review team's discussion on the law enforcement objective, and then seems to send any other comments on scope to review team list.
Thank you very much. Any further comments?
That's what we have.
Yep, I think that maps pretty well to it. Essentially, at this point, we should be able to complete the right-hand column on the items we have discussed today on the scope issue, and for future discussion to make sure we have it right. Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you, Lisa Pfeiffer, for the record. I just wanted to ask a procedural question, which is that Catherine had circulated some draft text for the terms of reference section in scope, and I was wondering how you wanted to proceed with updating that to reflect today's discussion.
My preference is to treat that as input into our processes, which we have at this point, and the scope discussion, I would think we need to have the discussion in principle as we are right now before we try to cast it into words. So I appreciate Catherine having put it into that format, but I think at this point we need to take her suggestions along with the other ones, and I think we are. Much of what she said is captured in the list we're looking at. So I would not try to edit that part of the terms of reference on a day-by-day basis, but wait till we finish the discussion on scope and then try to update it. So unless there's a strong objection, that's certainly my preference.
Hi, this is Catherine. If I can have the floor for just one second.
Yes, please, sir. Go ahead.
I don't see an issue with that. So I tried to draft the text to reflect what I thought was the status of the discussion so far, and it's quite generic. So I've put a lot of comments saying where I think we should further specify. Nonetheless, I do think it is helpful to get down to concrete text, because a lot of the issues that we will have in scope, in defining the scope, are actually on precisely defining what we mean by the different issues that are now listed in the table. So maybe there's some way of reconciling this by fleshing out the issues a bit more in the table. And one point in particular that I think may have gotten lost earlier is this issue around effectiveness, where you were saying, if I understood you correctly, that that's very hard to define, and therefore we should look into whether we want to get into it at all, and where I suggested that one way to look at it might be to see whether it is effectiveness with regard to the three needs that are defined in the bylaws themselves, namely those of law enforcement, consumer trust, and safeguarding registrant data. And that's something that's not yet reflected in the table, so if we want to continue working with the table, then maybe we should look at whether the effectiveness criterion could be further narrowed down by using those three purposes.
Yeah, thank you, Catherine.
But that's all the comment I have on this.
Thank you, Catherine. I think I said, or I imagine, or I plan to say, I'm not sure which at this point, that there is a line missing from the table, that I missed that in capturing it, that the issue on law enforcement and issues is not in the table and must be. So there's a bylaws line that's missing, and I think that's what we've just spent a fair amount of time discussing. I agree with you. We need better wording, and hopefully coming out of this meeting, I'll work with staff and certainly be passing it by both vice chairs to make sure that you think the summary that we're now doing in the last column comes close to capturing what our intent is. So I agree we need more words. I would prefer not to try to refine the whole document within the terms of reference until we come a little bit closer, because I suspect this is going to be an iterative process that we go back and adjust other ones as we're adding the new ones. So I'm just suggesting that we do it as a separate document until we have the thing relatively close to the end. All right. I think we're done. Is there anything else in our agenda that I have missed? I see we're at the last item then, and we're just about close to the end of the 90 minutes. So I thank you all for your participation, and I look forward to discussions on the mailing list. I think we're actually making good progress at this point, which makes me feel better than I did going into this call, where we seem to be having going around in circles a little bit. So thank you all for your participation, and I'll see you on the list, and again, we'll meet in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Thank you all, and I'll see you next week.